This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 278 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
You know, I'm itching to record a fantastic episode of Shudders Inc.
Excellent.
Unfortunately, but I'll probably just be a normal crat, but yeah, I'd like to record a good episode.
Right. Excellent.
You know, no, I've got to tell you, I'm moderately peeved tonight.
Oh, what about?
I'm one third of the way through a just diabolical process.
Of?
My daughter, when I picked her up from school today, she comes out of the class, teacher holding the hand, bawling her eyes out, holding her iPad.
Right.
Before, she's dropped her iPad and broken it.
Sorry, right? Who dropped her iPad?
Well, no,
your daughter or the teacher? Out,
she's crying, holding teacher's hand,
right,
and holding her iPad in the other hand. I go, oh, God, I'm thinking, oh, God, she's dropped her iPad.
Yeah.
She's broken her iPad. She's bawling her eyes out. So, oh, there goes $500, you know.
Yep.
Then she gets closer and she's bawling at me. I'm trying to figure out what she's saying. She goes, I changed my password and now I can't remember what it is. So now you think, okay, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I'd calm her down. And for the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes of school, she'd been desperately trying to keep it turned on so it wouldn't turn itself off and then require a password to restart.
Right.
Because she can't remember the password.
Yeah.
And upon talking and calming down and trying to get, she still has no idea what the password is.
Right.
So here's the journey I've been on since 3:30 this afternoon. It's now 10. It's now 9 o'clock at night, and if this is finished in the next 24 hours, I'll be amazed.
Right, really.
Okay. So, you know, with most programs, you lose your password, you send an email, forgotten password, they send you something to double check.
Yep.
And Bob's your auntie. You can reset.
Yep.
Not so with Apple. Okay. So first up, you've got to connect your iPad to the iTunes. Which won't let you do anything because it's password locked.
Yep.
Okay. So it says you can restore from a backup.
Right.
But as soon as you go and hit restore from backup, it says you've got to turn off your Find My iPad or Find My iPhone app.
Which you can't do iPad without getting in.
Which, of course, you can't do. So then the troubleshooting on the Apple website says, no, go onto the Find My iPad website and you can erase your iPad and turn it off from the website.
Jeez.
So I do. I go on. So you have to erase the entire iPad.
Yeah, which not everybody wants to do.
Including myself.
Yeah.
I erase the entire iPad.
Yep.
You then connect the iPad back to the computer.
Yep.
To start to complete reinstall and then restore from previous backup.
Yep.
As soon as you install it, it says it needs to download the latest iOS for the iPad.
Yep.
Now, okay, so that's 1.65 gig or whatever, and I'm on a reasonably slow ADSL, so it took an hour or so or more to download.
Yeah.
Finally downloads, okay,
mm-hmm.
Connects it up. Oh, no, you need the latest version of iTunes. For your iOS. Now, what, you've got the new iOS. You can't use that with the old iTunes.
Yeah.
You've got to get the new iTunes.
Yeah.
So I go to download iTunes, and guess what?
What?
It says, well, you can't download the new iTunes until you download the new operating system for your computer.
Oh.
So I've now got to download a 5.6 gigabyte update for my operating system. Then download a who knows how many hundreds of megabytes iTunes to try and connect it and then see if by some chance it still lets me set the bloody thing up and then restore it. All this for a lost password. Can you think of a stupider bloody setup than that?
And you give Android users grief because why?
I'm thinking of getting a new app. It's called the I Give Up. Me and Mr. Apple, not on friendliest terms today.
Those are exactly the kinds of reasons I don't go near Apple products.
It is. That's a diabolical process.
Oh, it's shocking.
Just
absolutely shocking.
The worst. How's your week been?
Busy. Busy really? Work-wise.
Good stuff, though.
But, yeah, just, yeah, good.
Haven't taken photos, have you?
I haven't. I still haven't cleaned.
Why do you run a bloody photography podcast? I still haven't taken any photos.
I still haven't cleaned my camera.
Cleaned your camera in 3 years. Nothing unusual there. I don't do that either. No. You haven't picked up your camera in how long?
About 8 weeks.
Why do you run a photography podcast?
Because I love photography.
It just shows.
I know. Good what? News.
Really?
Well,
you took a photo.
For a couple of people, it's good news.
Really?
Rakesh is coming back from Singapore.
Is he really?
Yeah. I hope he doesn't mind me telling everyone.
Oh, surprise. He might not want the in-laws to know.
Well, I think they know because he's coming to crash with them for a couple of weeks. Yeah, he rang me the day after my birthday to wish me happy birthday.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah.
I saw
it all on Facebook, but I didn't want to be like just another one of those people saying happy birthday on Facebook.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you, person to person.
Yeah, right.
So I'm glad you reminded me because I would have forgotten.
Yeah. So, so him and his wife are coming back to Australia mid-December and hanging around for a few weeks, and then they're chuffing off overseas to holiday for 12 months.
But just for 12 months.
Yeah, as you do. Yeah, so hopefully I'll get to catch up with him while he's here and, maybe go out and do some shooting with him. And we'll Lee Gatland and I have agreed that we need to get out and do a shoot this month. So,
yeah, believe me when I see it.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. what have you been up to?
First up, how old are you now? 55, 56? What was it?
Feels that way. 46.
Really? Are you younger than me?
Sorry, mate.
Have you seen how you look?
Well, I had someone tell me that they thought I was 4 years younger than I am, so.
Yeah. Four. That's very precise.
So I'm listening to her. I'm not listening to you.
Oh, I thought you were 41 and a half. That's very precise. I'm in this middle of this planning this renovation of the house.
Oh yeah,
and I was at this door suppliers this week, looking at bifold doors, and this is old guy, mid 60s or whatever, that I'm talking to, and he's a lovely guy. Name's Kevin. Not that that's particularly relevant. Lovely guy. They're having a chat, and we start talking about families. He goes, "Oh yeah, I've got a 1 year old at home. I've got a 1 year old." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "You don't mind me asking, how old are you?" He goes, "Oh, 51. He's a year older than me."
Whoa.
You would have picked him for mid-60s.
I'll bet, with a one-year-old, yeah.
Oh, God, it's like, you haven't aged well, have you?
There is no way I would want to start again with a newborn now.
Oh, but he just, I said, "How old's your wife?" He goes, "Oh, she's half my age." I said, "Yeah, no wonder you look so tired and old and run down, dude. He's running you ragged." No, I haven't really done anything photography this week at all because I've just been, other than I did a couple of workshops last weekend, but other than, because I've just been so tied up with this bloody getting this stuff organised for the renovations.
Yep.
Or trying to get my head around all the billion things to do.
Yeah.
But I've been driving past this big lump of dirt. I know, this doesn't start well, does it? This big lump of dirt, which is probably about 30 foot high of dirt.
Yeah.
Under a bridge or near a bridge.
I'm sure the story gets better from here. Yeah.
Covered in weeds and some sort of scrubby-looking dead bushes.
Okay, maybe not. Yeah.
I'm hanging out to do a photo shoot up there.
Right.
With my kiddo. It's just going to be I feel like it's going to be a corker of a location.
A pile of dirt with some weeds on it.
Yeah, and don't forget the dead scrubby brushes.
On the dead scrubby brushes.
Let's not forget those. so it's a flash shot. I've got it all in my head. I'm trying to decide whether I want a late afternoon golden light with a good sunset, or if I want dark and moody. But
okay.
So I've been driving back and forth this direction. for the week, it's like, I've got to shoot up there, but no time. I did manage to squeeze in an iPhone shoot with the kiddos using the new Tintype app.
Okay.
Which emulates the old Tintype photos from our lovely friends at Hipstamatic.
Yep.
Not sponsors. It's fabulous. It's a great little app.
Cool.
So it gives you this really cool old vintage look with quite a bit of control over it, which is nice. And I went to the zoo last week.
Right.
Was that this week? That was last week. Probably recorded.
I think you spoke about going to the zoo last episode.
Oh, well, I went to the zoo then. Yep. it all blends into one. All day long today I've been swearing it was Tuesday, so which is not really good because yesterday I swore it was Tuesday as well. Right. And I found out yesterday that yesterday was Wednesday.
Yep.
And another day goes by, I still feel like Tuesday for me, so it's very bizarre. But talking to my mate Dave Oakley, the woman who's been coordinating all our Normandy vets.
Yes.
She's on the mend now. She's sort of back in the swing of things and looks like we're hoping to start shooting again hopefully next week or sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, cool.
And we've got this awesome couple of guys lined up to shoot. They met each other on D-Day or in the services in World War II.
Right.
And they're still best of mates today.
Wow.
And they want to be shot together. Well, yeah, right. Photographed together. Got to go. Just turns again. They want to be photographed together as brothers in arms. So right. It's going to be a fabulous shoot.
Awesome.
Yeah, two oldies. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's sort of my, over the next couple of weeks, I've got a shoot in Adelaide to do, a shoot in Brisbane to do, and a shoot in Cairns to do.
These are just workshops?
No, they're commercial shoots.
Oh, okay.
So
what commercial stuff are you doing?
I can't.
Oh, you can't discuss it?
Yeah.
Can you discuss it after the event?
No, I've been doing stuff for these people for a couple of years. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just like a... it's not exciting. It's god awful, horrible, but it pays off.
Well, you can't talk about it now.
it's just in-house stuff for the organization,
right?
So it's an organization with, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 stores worldwide or something,
right?
And I do all the Australian New Zealand stuff, and it's just it's dull,
right?
But not every photograph you can do is going to be of a supermodel. Sometimes it's going to be of a thing.
Yeah.
So our podcast regime may suffer a little bit over the next couple of weeks.
Oh well,
most of them are day trips and stuff, but we'll be fine, I reckon.
Yeah.
But have you come across anything fabulous this week?
Came across an interesting thing on DIY.
This podcast might pick up,
photography.net, which I thought was an interesting idea for a photography-related discussion, and it was how would you reinterpret Maslow's hierarchy of needs from a photographic perspective? Now, for those who aren't familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's a thing
How could anyone not be?
You're not familiar with
someone? We're smarter than fifth graders.
Than the average bear, yeah.
Maslow, isn't it? Who am I like that?
So, for those who aren't familiar, it's something that psychology students have to
The Rorschach test.
Yeah, delve into quite.
Four butterflies.
Oh. So basically, the idea of this hierarchy of needs is shaped like a pyramid, like a triangle.
Oh.
And the idea is that at the bottom, you have the bottom layer, like the bottom fifth, is breathing, food, water, sex, sleep, homeostasis, excretion.
Oh, I had homeostasis once. The penicillin fixed it right up.
So these are the most basic things that we need to deal with when we come onto this planet, right? The next layer is safety.
What would happen if Maslow's hierarchy met Schrodinger's cat?
I don't know.
Or would it? Did it meet it or didn't it meet it?
Exactly. So anyway, look, I'm not going to go into it all.
No.
But the idea is, I thought it was an interesting idea for a topic.
I'm down with it. You know, why don't we talk about it? If I get the page to open up, I'd be happy. Yeah.
You clearly have no interest in this at all, do you?
No, I do. What's it about?
Dear.
So it's a hierarchy of what?
Of needs.
Yeah, like I want another camera.
Well, that was the idea, was like, what would the layers be if it was photocentric rather than about our needs as human beings? If it was our needs as photographers, what would be in the five layers?
Oh, I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I have no idea.
Really? what would number one be? What would the bottom level be? The foundation, as we call it.
The second person to comment on the DIYphotography.net said that the bottom layer should read, just one more lens.
Well, what would you put there?
To be honest, I discovered this about 10 minutes before we started recording, and I haven't had a chance.
So you've had full research?
Yes.
10 minutes is more than we normally research.
Well, speak for yourself.
It's like an in-depth. It's an in-depth. Well, I'd have to put knowledge.
That's a bit general, isn't it?
No, because without knowing, how can you do?
Oh.
Surely the fundamental, the actual base, the foundation of everything. Have you looked at anything on the internet lately? I've seen some awful baby photography lately, but the babies look dead. It's just it's just terrible, and they put little angel wings on them to make them. No. But it looks like it's just not good.
Tacky,
not good. Yeah, tacky. Not good. Because I'm tacky. Have you seen the Weird Al Yankovic film clip?
No,
tacky? It's very funny. Down to the song "Happy."
Right, I get that.
So I'd have to put knowledge down the bottom.
Okay.
Because without knowing, how can you do?
Fair enough.
Yeah, without to do. Let's talk about doing it well, not just doing. But the goal is to reach the pinnacle of this triangle, to reach the top. And if your foundation's no good, then everything else is going to fall over.
Mm. Okay. I don't know.
You've obviously not researched that enough to come up with anything.
I would have said. A passion or an interest would be the base from which you start. After that, it would be, get some gear to get you started. Then it would be, develop some knowledge to help you use that gear. Because very few people actually acquire the knowledge of how to shoot something without having the gear to do it.
Yeah, you're right.
Usually you've got the gear before you've got the knowledge.
Yeah. But aren't we talking an ideal world?
Yes and no. Not necessarily.
Necessarily? How would you redefine
Look, this topic's dead. Moving on.
You've brought the tone of our podcast down to its normal level. Right? I just hope you're happy with yourself. Album covers.
Yes.
Album cover.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I love it. I've seen it before. It's fabulous.
It was great. Oh, how long ago did you see it?
Oh, I don't know.
I saw it a couple of days ago, and then it popped up again on my feed today. So
easily 6 or 8 months, or maybe longer than that.
Oh, okay. It's been around for a while then.
Yeah, but people may have added more to it.
Yeah. So for anyone who hasn't seen this, it was on DIY Photography. Today. And basically it's a series of album covers, but what they've done is created an extension of the artwork that extends beyond the borders of the album. So it's like what was
and
on
by
the
album you mean CD.
Yeah, well, or it could have been vinyl. You don't know.
Digital download.
But the idea is that
young and hip too. They don't know what that's
the idea being that what you saw on the cover of your favourite album was only a cropped version of this bigger picture, and some of them are very funny.
they're excellent.
Yeah. So anyway,
especially the Bieber one. It's not so much
yes.
It's more hope than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like the Adele one. I thought that was really well done.
It's well done.
So anyway, link for that will be in the show notes for those that want to have a little bit of a giggle. A couple of videos that I came across on Vimeo, which were both really good. One was a storm chasing video. This one's definitely worth watching simply because the guy has edited it to music really, really well. I would have been pretty stoked if I had edited something and got the video to work with the music as well as this guy did. He really pulled it off nicely, so that's definitely worth a look. And the other one is a surf video. Now, I didn't get to read up on what sort of camera gear they were using, but the article that I saw on, again, I think it was DIY Photography.
Is that slow motion video?
Yeah. $140,000 worth of camera gear into the ocean to shoot surfers. But 1,000 frames per second type stuff, shooting surf videos. It looked absolutely gorgeous. So, yeah. And the other thing that I came across was on AmandaChapmanPhotography.com.
All Hallows Eve.
Yeah, the Halloween self-portrait series. Did you get to look at any of these?
Tonight, I have seen them. Yeah, tonight's Halloween Eve.
It is too. 30th of October.
Yes. How about that? That's when we're recording, folks.
Yes.
I know. I had to sing a Halloween song to my daughter before going to bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had to make it up.
I was going to say, what's a Halloween song?
Yeah, she makes me make up songs, really bad ones to go to bed with. So, yeah.
Could have sung her Werewolves of London.
Oh, is that, they're now talking. Yeah, it doesn't have the word Halloween in it.
No, probably not.
So she got some great shots, the Amanda Chapman.
Man, the amount of time and effort, not only to shoot them, but the makeup.
Oh, the makeup, yeah.
And for selfies, wow.
Yeah, they're very cool.
Oh, very cool. Anyway, again, link will be in the show notes, and that's me done. What do you got?
Well, first up, I want to send out a big hi. That's right, I should do it properly. Hi. to my new best mate, Dave Cambry.
Right.
Because Dave Cambry, A, took the time to post in our Shutters Inc. this week.
Thank you, Dave.
Facebook page, which is, yeah, so few people do, so it's a novel occurrence when it happens.
Yeah.
And I think from memory, he might be a long-time listener, first-time poster.
Right.
Whatever that acronym is. But why he's become my best mate, it's not so much the post he put up.
Right.
It's the post crap. sorry, Dave. But it's the way he phrased it. He goes, this might be of little interest to you. And he was right. It was very little interest to you. Oh, by the way, Dave, I hope you're having a good holiday. He's starting holidays as of tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
Unpaid, apparently, so he must work for himself.
Right.
Yeah, stalked his Facebook page.
Right.
But what did he say? He sent us through a link to 9 simple ways to tell if you're a good photographer or not.
Yep.
And let's face it. Ignore the whole 9, basically. Just don't bother looking. Don't waste your time.
Why is that? You didn't like it?
I will say this. The person who, in the comments, this is called Dementia.
Right.
This is his online name. Said succinctly it perfectly for me.
Okay.
If you have to read the articles like this to determine if you're a good photographer, you're not.
Okay.
Do you agree? You don't need someone to tell you in 9 ways for you to guess if you're a good photographer or not.
That's valid.
So,
but that doesn't mean that the points made by the author are invalid.
I didn't say he was an invalid. But Jim LaFrance also said, as with any 9 simple ways list on the net, this is designed as filler material and written from someone's point of view. Take what you think is good about it and discard the rest. A truly good photographer doesn't need ironclad rules. Doesn't need anybody rules, frankly, Jim. There's more to do with life than reading frickin' lists.
Oh, absolutely.
Go and look at some photographs. Sit and gawk at fabulous photos rather than wasting time asking if you're a good one, because watching other people's photos and stealing all the good bits will make you a good photographer.
Fair enough.
Copy and steal everything. Case, school of photography. I've always been a big fan of it. Copy and steal everything. Nothing new under the sun, so rip them off.
Yep.
But speaking of lists, I did come across one, the 19 ideas to help build confidence.
Right.
Which I thought was fabulous. I thought I'd have a quick look because I lack a bit of confidence.
Yeah.
I thought I could boost a bit of the ego. But he almost lost me at number 1.
Right.
Straight away, which was read the instruction manual of your camera. I thought, this man's a freaking loony. He's got no eye. What are you talking? He's speaking to men here. Yeah, I'm sure some people weren't reading, but I'm a man. You don't read a manual.
Yes, you do.
You watch a manual, but you don't read a manual. But he got me back at number 5, though.
I thought he would have got you back at number 2.
What was number 2?
Attend every workshop you possibly can.
Oh, hello. He's really winning me over now.
So you didn't even read the list. You got to number one, and that was as much as you read, wasn't it?
No, I got to number five, which listened to podcasts.
I saw that.
There you go. That's us. We can fit in there. But I didn't see number two. Now, there's a winner. Yeah. This man does know what he's talking about. Fabulous. Enter a print competition. No, I wouldn't do that.
Got to give him kudos for number six.
Number six. Understand lighting. Not really.
Okay. You think you can gain some confidence as a photographer without understanding lighting?
No, but you should have that already. It should be a given. That's a given. Join a camera club. Well, that's not a good idea either. We go to a camera club, and all camera clubs want to do. Speaking of camera clubs, I'm speaking of the Ivanhoe Photographic Society next month. If you're listening,
turn off now.
Looking forward to the night and for the delivery of all the prints I have to judge before I go. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Join a camera club and attend print judging competitions and enter print competitions. Well, that'll be me at the Ivanhoe Photographic. Don't do that. Talk your friends or family members. No, don't talk your friends or family members into modelling for you. That's bad.
Yeah.
Because they expect to see good results. Hire someone who you don't know and all they care about is the cash.
Yeah.
And then there's no pressure to produce good work. Don't even tell someone you're doing the shoot until you're finished if it's good. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Hands-on workshops, the best way to build confidence. No, he's got me back again towards the end.
Yep.
That's Skip Cohen. He knows his stuff. I'm telling you right now. But speaking of photo competitions,
yeah,
our mate William Long,
yes,
was one of the
was judging the Moran
Prize, yeah, and he just got flamed. Apparently.
He did. I saw that.
Because the winning image is an interesting, unpredictable, not your run of the mill portrait prize sort of photo
for sure. But that's what you expect of a contemporary portrait photographic competition winner, isn't it?
No, I'd expect them to pick me. But if I entered, but I don't enter, yeah, I wouldn't. Yep. Yeah. But the thing is, it doesn't matter who wins or loses. It doesn't matter what the winner is. It's only ever subjective. So anyone then poor William's been just attacked for his choice of this image or the judge's choice of this image. And it's like, well, hang on. Yeah, it's all subjective anyway. This is what they thought on the day. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they didn't say they were right. They're saying that this is what we like.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't like it, that's fine. But you don't pick on other people for stuff if you don't like it, if someone makes a choice that you don't agree with.
Hmm.
So poor William Long, we're sticking up for you, dude. Yeah?
Yeah.
We'll put out that flame. But yeah, that's just, and here's the problem always with photo. You enter photo competitions, and then you get cranky if you don't win and someone else does, and you think your work's better than theirs.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know?
Reminds me of religion.
Oh, how so?
Sorry,
how so? Let's delve into this. They've opened the old Pandora's box.
Well, you don't like somebody else's point of view, you get all uppity about it, and you rip into everybody.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They had the Jehovah's Witness conference down here in Melbourne two weekends ago, speaking of religions.
Yeah.
70,000 of them at one of our big stadiums.
Jesus.
I'll tell you what, exactly. no, it's Jehovah, actually. But I'll tell you what, there was a lot of very relieved Victorians because they could open it. If someone knocked on the door, they could open it with peace. Fairly sure it wasn't going to be them.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if I was a Seventh-day Dentist, you know, I'd be out there that weekend knowing there's no other competition.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than going out knocking on a door, right, and you get in and you tell your story. Off you go. Half an hour later, the JW has come by. Tell their story. Yeah. Then the person's got this way, they've got an exclusive audience.
Yeah.
I reckon the numbers would be up. I think they get $500 for everyone they convert and a rabbit. it's not a bad commission.
Anyway, moving on.
So, Sony, our USA listener, Sony's just announced the Pro USA division, which is like the Canon programs here and the Nikon programs where if you own a certain amount of Sony gear and lenses, and you're a pro, you get specialized treatment, discounts, free cleanings, loan gear, all that sort of stuff if you have a problem.
Right.
So they've just announced that in the USA. It was in Japan last year, but they're now opened up in the US. So maybe there's a chance it'll expand out to other areas for those who use some.
That's not too bad. $100 US for a year?
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's a good idea.
I mean, God, you pay that just to get your camera cleaned.
Well, exactly. I mean, a sensor clean, absolutely. You've got two cameras. I think it's got unlimited cleans, which is, I think, you take in three or four times a year.
Yeah, that's great.
Get it done. So that's pretty good value. And then someone's found George Murray Levick's notebook. Can you believe it? George Murray Levick.
Who?
Dude.
Who?
Don't you know your photography history?
Apparently not.
George Murray Levick. He was the photographer on Captain Scott's last voyage to Antarctica.
And I would know that because...
Because it came up on YouTube, early on the internet earlier this week. No, but it's amazing. They found this notebook, which is a list of all the photographic plates that he shot on the last expedition of Scott. And it's all handwritten in pencil. And they found it in Antarctica, outside the last hut that Scott used in 1911, in some melting snow.
Wow.
And reconditioned it, put it all back together again, and it's now on display, which is just astounding.
Wow. So do they have all the photographic plates that he referenced?
I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But coming across that also came across, speaking of such thing, a thing called the freeze frame gallery.
Right.
Which is a gallery of all the history of the photographic images of Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
It's 20,000 images, I think, from like 1860 or something onwards.
Wow.
So if you like your
Antarctic
history, yeah, that sort of stuff. 1845 to 1982.
Wow. But Arctic and Antarctica is on my bucket list, I'll tell you now.
I know a guy going down there in December.
Who's that? Is that David Burren?
No.
No. Okay.
No, is a guy I trained. Remember I talked about the guy I trained who's
The guy who came to the portrait workshop because he wanted to shoot wildlife.
Yeah, I'm going to teach him flash before he goes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Is that guy?
Him.
Yeah, right.
Doug.
Awesome. Doug.
So he's off there on...
Does Doug listen to the podcast?
No. I don't know. He's probably got more to do with his time. He's a loser.
Okay. So, yeah, anyway.
Hey, all they have to do is listen. We actually make the thing. Who's sadder? The listeners, the people who recorded
it. Mate, everywhere. You only listen to it once. I have to go through it twice.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, isn't it? You're twice the loser, right? but that was a cool little archive of images if someone wants to have it.
Yeah, through there. Definitely want to have
a
squiz for
that. A few last things just to finish up because I don't have much this week. Rico, remember them? They've just released a 360-degree camera that has stills and videos.
Right.
It's a 360-degree spherical camera with video recording. Quite a bizarre looking thing. I'm not quite sure how it works, whether it spins a lens or what it does.
Right.
Because looking at the shape of it, I can't see how it can record all angles. But,
Weird.
Kind of cool.
Are there any sample images to give us an idea?
No. I know.
That's a bit.
But it's the second. It's the second in their series. They had one last year, apparently. So I didn't see that one. But pretty cool.
Okay.
It could have its Ricoh Theta M15. Yeah. Oh, you're going to Google.
Going to Google Images to see if there's any. Oh yeah. They're just sort of like your circular, you know, fisheye.
If you have the right software.
Yeah,
you'd be able to sit inside it and look around.
Okay.
I would imagine.
Right.
So what's the point otherwise, really?
Hmm.
I mean, all you get it is, you could do it with a fisheye. So I'm pretty sure if you get into the right software, you can actually look around them
and see this
view image.
Someone was telling me, we were talking about panoramas. This was a year or two back. And they were saying that they had a friend who used to print off these, you know, panoramas in like a, you know, 6-to-1 aspect ratio that were a full 360-degree pano. And then they'd turn them, you know, bring the ends around together and sticky tape them, and then they'd hang them from the ceiling and stand inside them, and they could turn around. So that was pretty cool.
It'd be a listen to the podcast. And then I came across this app this week that used to be
$1,000.
$1,000 app. Can you imagine paying? That's more than your phone.
Mate, Apple user, I wouldn't put it past them.
$1,000, but it's been discounted down to $50. Which you'd have to say
to make you think you're getting a bargain.
It's a moderate discount, but it converts your iPhone into the ability to shoot 4K video.
No, all it would be doing is scaling up the video from...
Nope. It shoots 24 photo frames a second.
Yeah.
At full 4K resolution and then stitches into a movie.
Into a video. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's shooting at 4K. The photo's a 4K resolution photo.
Right, which is about 12 megapixels.
Yeah, but it's shooting enough frames in a row that it...
can then turn it into video.
Video, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Which is a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
I can't quite understand the and it simultaneously records the audio and syncs the two together.
Wow.
As an audio person, that must be interesting. Each second of footage is 72 megabytes of storage, though.
That's actually quite efficient. They're obviously not storing it, you know, the highest quality JPEG. They're obviously cranking it down to fairly compressed levels, which means that you don't want to be, you know, doing too much to it in post-production.
Yeah, but also your iPhone's going to fill up pretty fast,
though. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Particularly given that iPhones don't have slots for external media.
Yeah, I know, silly things. Bloody Apple.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned that?
Once or twice.
But it keeps coming back again to this ingenuity that's in the world of photography and videography these days.
Yeah,
that it's just fabulous. It's just like no one else has. You know, it's just mind-blowingly cool ideas and doing stuff, which is just astounding. You know, stuff that's just not possible any other time. You know. And speaking of doing amazing stuff with technology, did you see the post I put up this week for OK Go's new video?
Oh, mate, how good was that?
So it's all shot with drones and, oh.
It is so well done.
Yeah, when you get to the last 30 or 40 seconds or so.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing just how.
That just takes it to another level.
The coordination of how it's done.
Yeah.
I mean, how they managed to get this thing to work. But, yeah, it's amazing control of the drone.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
The amazing precision and control is just brilliant. You know?
Yeah.
And I was reasonably impressed with that.
Yeah. It was very cool.
Just whilst talking about that, the U.S. Forest Service put out a thing saying a call for people to stop taking selfies with bears. Don't want people.
And how often do people do that?
We've had mobs of people that are actually rushing towards bears, trying to get a selfie with the bear in the background.
What?
It is presenting a safety issue. We're afraid someone's going to get attacked.
Nah, just let them go. Let them do it.
Those ones, they just need to be.
Yeah, exactly. Darwin Awards.
I'm going to put the link in the photo because they've got
Darwin Awards.
There's they've got a list link of all these shots done.
We need to clean out the gene pool anyway, so.
it's got all these photos of people's selfies with their bears.
That is unbelievable. Because you'd turn your back on a wild bear.
So bears can run more than 60 kilometres or 37 miles per hour, and they can do it uphills, downhills, or along a slope. To put that in perspective, that's 15 metres a second.
Whoa.
50 feet a second, more than twice as fast as we can run. In fact, the bear can outrun a racehorse over short distances.
Wow.
So that's, as I've always said, you know, I used to spend a bit of time in bear country. You don't have to outrun the bear, just the person you're with.
That's right. You
know? So just choose who you're shooting with very, very carefully, you know. And I had another little IT issue again this week where I – during all this bloody Apple thing, my computer decided to restart, and I lost my Word document with all the stuff I had for tonight's podcast.
Oh, okay.
I did have an iPhone wedding, all shot and post-processed with Instagram link.
Wow.
Let's see if I can find it.
So someone actually did that?
Someone actually did it, yep.
Wow. Okay.
Exactly.
Do you happen to know whether or not that was the primary photographer for their wedding?
Yeah, it was. The couple asked for it.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So they wanted that, which is interesting.
Yeah,
to say the least.
But, one thing to do that, but to have that as your primary, photos from your wedding. Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to be doing that.
Might be the second or third time around, though. Yeah, the guy had like a 10-year-old son,
right,
in the photo. So anyway. I know, but I'd still like to do it. I'd love to shoot a wedding with an iPhone.
Yep.
Just the whole thing. So if someone is getting married for the fifth time, and more importantly, you're both gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. You know, I don't want to shoot those ugly people. Because you can't, you know, here's the thing. You don't see all the world's top wedding photographers showing you the photos of the weddings they've done of the 300-pound bride.
No.
They only show you the good ones. You get the 300-pound bride. Oh, but actually busy that day.
Yeah, I was going to say they probably don't take those gigs.
We can change our dates. No, I'm actually booked for the rest of my life. I would enjoy doing that. I reckon shooting an iPhone. You'd probably have to have like two iPhones going. I reckon just as a
right.
Anyway, this is me. And lastly, but not leastly, just once again, the astounding changes in technology.
Yeah.
I came across this thing where there's these people unloading an IBM hard drive off a plane.
Yeah, in 1956.
Yeah. And it would take 21 of these machines, which are huge. They're requiring massive thing to unload it to handle a single D800 RAW file.
Yep.
This thing, which had 21 discs or something inside this drive.
No, 24-inch discs.
Oh, yeah. 50 24-inch discs to hold a grand total of 3.5 megabytes. And in 1956, it only cost you $3,200 a month to lease.
Yeah.
Which is like probably the price of a house, you'd imagine, in those days.
That is phenomenal.
Amazing. Isn't it amazing? How far have we come, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember, two megabyte memory cards for $800, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's. I remember selling an Olympus 300mm lens to buy a 5 1/4-inch floppy drive.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
That's it.
Excellent.
Anything else?
We are approaching the halfway mark.
Of what?
Of people who've signed up for the Pass the Camera project. I think we're around about 14 people at the moment.
Hey, if we get a 12 exposure film, we're okay.
I told Milena that if we only got 35 people, then she was up for two images.
Yeah, no pressure. Both of them would be awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Now, has she been in touch with you privately?
No.
Okay. I suggested that she should get in touch with you because her husband has bought her or has said to her that she can go and do any photography course she likes.
Anywhere.
But she doesn't know what to do. Well, I think there's probably a limit.
No, I'll go to her. That's easy enough.
Yeah. So, but she didn't know where to look or who to turn to. So I suggested that she Google some local photographers, find some people who are running courses. And I said, then bounce them off Glyn because Glyn will point you in the right direction.
Please do.
Yeah.
I'm a resource you're more than welcome to use.
Absolutely.
I'm doing anything else during the week. So you know what? It's been a terrible week. I've only had one nap the whole week.
Oh, my goodness. You must be wrecked.
And it was in the car outside my daughter's childcare. So much so that one of the women in the childcare in the exercise area at the back is yelling out, wake up. Don't pick up your kid. My alarm clock. Just whilst I think about it, if you're listening anywhere there from Brisbane, I've just announced some workshops for the end of March next year in Brisbane.
Okay.
If you're out and about and thinking, just thought I'd throw it out there.
Excellent.
Haven't been there in a while.
Cool.
That's it.
All right, mate. We'll have a good week.
And I've got a new way of finishing off the show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy.
Okay.
One of my favorite Canadian TV shows called The Red Green Show. That was one of their slogans. I think I might adopt it.
Red Green Show.
The Red Green Show.
Okay. Why red green?
Well, one guy's name was red, the other one's green. No, you kind of have to see it.
Okay.
And he went for 300 odd episodes.
Okay.
It's all available on YouTube if you want to kill half an hour, then possibly kill yourself.
Right.
But if the women don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. It's tip number one. They had three main slogans.
Right.
There was that. There was keep your stick on the ice. And any tool can be the right tool.
Okay.
And they were famous for making things with gaffer tape.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, you know, they're like a converter car to have like wing doors rather than normal opening doors with gaffer tape and a garage door opener.
Nice.
Yeah, all the good stuff. So it's a men's handyman show, effectively.
Oh, okay, cool.
in a twisted way. Anyway.
Sounds like something from the website thereifixedit.com.
Really have to look at that one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So we're leaving all these great things for people to look at. Red Green Show, There I Fixed It.
Yeah.
And of course, don't forget to pop into willitblend.com.
Oh, yes.
It's always worthwhile a visit whenever you're feeling a bit down.
Yeah. All right, okay, mate.
Have a good week.
You too.
Talk to you.
See you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shutterzingpodcast.com.